God, in His wisdom, has appointed a time for each nation to exist. He has appointed a place for each nation to exist also, and also has determined the time and place where each individual, that means us, will have in history. And according to the scripture, the purpose why He gives different times and different places is so that they can seek the Lord, that they might find Him. Acts 17:26, He has made from one blood every nation of men. So everybody comes from one man, from one blood, every single man on the face of the earth. And He has determined their pre-appointed times. God decided for you to be born at the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century. God decided for the Apostle Paul to be born in the first century. So every single time has been appointed by God. God decided for the United States to exist at this time, for the for Rome to be at the beginning of the first century, the end of the BC era. And He also chose the boundaries of their dwellings. God puts boundaries to the ocean. He can also put boundaries to where people are going to live, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each of us. But because we humans are born at different periods of time, God works differently in different periods of time. He has chosen to reveal His glory in different degrees throughout the different periods of history. During some periods, there was a lot of direct intervention from God. For example, in the time of Moses, you can see things that usually don't happen, like the Red Sea being open or the Jordan River stopped. During the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were so many healings. A lot of demons were cast out. There were people coming back to life more than any other period of time, just to show the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. During other times, God has given peace to His people, and He has let them flourish. Yet He did not perform as many miraculous signs. At other times, He has let His people suffer as He judges sin. During the periods that follow a great display of His glory, many humans have felt a little disappointed. Sometimes we'll read in the Psalms, or we'll read in the book of Judges, or in the book of Kings, where are all the great mighty works that we hear about God, especially when they are being oppressed by their enemies. People in Israel, why is God not going to save us like He saved us from Egypt in the first place? But God has not decided to do so. So, and it is during those times where there are not as many displays of, I would call, acts of God against the regular course of nature, that we, we can see God's provision for us. He gives us peace, He gives us food, but it is at that time where we don't see His hand in a miraculous way, where we need to turn to the scriptures and see exactly what does God wants us to be doing during that time. As we continue to look in the book of Malachi, I'm going to give you a list of things we need to focus when we lose heart, especially as we're serving God and we feel that what we're doing is not maybe as important. Or we say, oh, we do this every single weekend. We go to church. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I don't even have to prepare for this. It's just the same thing over and over. It's like, I'm not sure if I don't go, they probably won't even miss me. Or things like that, where we start feeling a little discouraged about maybe we would like to see more things in our lives and God does not allow it at a certain time. And this is what we need to do when we feel what we're going to do is we're going to look at his plan for us, especially in the time of Malachi, a time where God was not doing all these miraculous things, but it was part of his master plan. So please turn in your Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. We're going to read to the end of the chapter, starting in verse 6. And please follow in the text as I read this passage. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. I am father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you, priests, who despise my name. Yet you say, in what have we despised your name? Well, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there among you who would shut the doors, so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what weariness! And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand? Says the Lord. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am the great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you will reveal your name to us. I pray that you will help us to honor your name as it deserves to be honored in our lives, not only with our words, but with our actions. I pray that your Holy Spirit will show us a glimpse of your majesty this morning as we look at this passage, and that we might respond appropriately by bringing honor to you, by restoring the joy of that is in service to you, Lord, the privilege and the great blessing that you have given us to be able to participate in the transmission of the message of salvation to everybody who believes, Lord. Thank you for letting us share this message with others. And I pray that you will help us not to stop. And we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we talked about Mother's Day and how we needed to honor mothers. And something that we saw is that most of the commandments were written for adults, not for children. And another thing what we saw is that the way that you honor your parents, in some ways, is a reflection that you the way that you honor God. And the words to honor, to fear, and to honor are only used for God and the relationship of a person with their parents. At the beginning of this chapter in Malachi, the questions, the people were asking a question, does God love us? And basically the problem is that they had the scriptures. They had read about the miracles that God did with the nation of Israel. They had heard also about the riches and the wealth that was accumulated during the time of David and Solomon. The wisdom, the power, the influence they have in other kingdoms. And now both of the kingdoms had been destroyed. And Jerusalem was burned down to the ground. Something that they thought it was going to be, especially This week I've been reading Jeremiah during that time. Basically, the king at that time thought it would be almost impossible. It was such a strong city. But Jeremiah told him one after time, this is what's going to happen. And it happened. Now, 70 years later, the emperor of Persia allowed some of the Jews to return. Actually, he allowed everybody who wanted to go back to go back, but not everybody did. Not everybody wanted to be in an open area, not a city. But a lot of people went. And they started rebuilding Jerusalem. From a few houses, they rebuilt the wall under the direction of Nehemiah. And they built the temple under the encouragement of Zechariah and Haggai. The two prophets were saying, come on, build this temple. And when they finished the temple, something that that is recorded is that the elders, the older people who had seen the temple of Solomon, they just cried. But they didn't cry. Probably they cried because of emotion, but they also cried because it was so lacking material glory compared to the temple of Solomon. The one, basically they saw it and they just cried. It's like, well, this is our temple now. So now you have priests serving in this temple. And there are no miraculous things happening with Israel. Except there are three prophets. Zechariah, Haggai, which are already gone, and now Malachi. Malachi is our last prophet of the Old Testament. And God is working through His people. He's protecting them. He has allowed them to build the city. He has provided what they needed. They are not under their own ruler. They are not independent. As they used to be in the past, now they are under Persia, and soon they will be under Greece, and then they will be under Roman control. They only know Persia now. And in some ways they are serving, they are doing all these sacrifices, but maybe they were expecting something really big. Maybe God will make them into a great nation again, like in the time of David. But it's not happening. The nation is growing little by little. Little towns are starting to be populated around Jerusalem. The nation is starting to be rebuilt. And the priest, so God now in the second part of this chapter 1 is changing the question. First you were asking, do I love you? And God's answer was, look what I did to Edom. And look what I'm doing with you. If Edom decides to build back again, I myself, God, the Lord of hosts, will turn them down. But with you, I will build you up again. But now, he turns the question on them and said, do you love me? Look at the way that you are serving me. And in some ways, this is a good passage to go back, especially when you feel that, is this all that God wants to do with me for now? This is a good passage to look at and see, well, God is doing a lot of things through us, and regardless of whether I see what's happening or not, I need to be faithful in my service to Him. In the period of the law, here are the two nations destroyed, the United Monarchy, the glorious time of wealth, which is going to be superseded during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes back. But here is Malachi, the last prophet, and there are 400 years between Malachi and the birth of Christ. These 70 years, Jerusalem and the whole nation of Israel, basically in ruins, and then they start building. So Malachi is very close to the beginning of that return. But moving forward, when you feel discouraged in your service towards God, the first thing I want to share with you, there are some 9 things I want to share, is focus on the things that are not seen. There are a lot of things that are not seen. Here, we start the passage, verse 6. A son honors his father. And a servant, his master. The word here is to be heavy, recognize. Just like we saw with parents, God has given a high status to parents just because they are your parents. And then our job, when we honor them, is to recognize that high status. Through words, through our gifts, through our thoughts, through our actions. Well, God has a higher status than any other human. And He's saying, in some ways, in your society, things are working okay. The children are obeying their parents. There is the desire to honor parents within Israel. So a son is honoring his father, and a servant is honoring his master. They're focusing on everything, everyday activities. Basically, when someone went to work, whether it was his boss or his master, if he was a servant, they were obeying. Things were getting done. Things were getting done in the different farms, in the vineyards. They were submissive, those who needed to be submissive. And when the master spoke, they were listened to. They were revered because of the role they had. And fathers have many roles that cause their children to honor them too. If a father is providing for their children, as the children grow up, they realize, you know, our dad really cares for us. He really provided. When I look at my own family, I was born, my dad was 61 when I was born. I'm from his second marriage. And basically, in his own life, the way that he saw it, he was already spending as much as he could. He was enjoying his money. But as soon as we were born, he started saving again. So I'm very thankful that when he died, he left enough for us to be able to finish high school and then to be able to go to college, just because he planned. And in some ways, then you realize that my parents are providing for me, that I'm going to listen to them. They protect you. They are the ones who are ruling the house. As you grow up, also, you have questions. They become good advisors. And the more good advice they give you, the more that you respect them. And in the same way, God needs to be revered much more than my father could provide or any of your parents could provide. God is providing everything you have during the hard times and during the good times. God can protect you. This week, since I read Jeremiah, I'll give you another example from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was thrown by those who didn't like him, because they say, oh, his messages are taking away the courage from our people. They are discouraging our people. He needs to be put to death. So they took him to a very deep cistern, one of that the king had built. And it was so low that they had to use ropes to get him down there. And once he got there, there was no water, but it was mud from the water. He just sank in the mud. And he was left there with no food, in the dark. And one person from Africa, Ebed-Melech, which means servant king. Servant of the king, that's what it means in Hebrew. So he was probably renamed, but he worked for a king. Ebed-Melech went down. He got about 30 men and got ropes to be able to get Jeremiah back out. But God rewarded him that when the Babylonian army attacked, Nebuchadnezzar's army, a lot of people were killed, and Jeremiah was able to tell him, you will not die, the Lord will protect you during that time. Food was gone from the city. It was terrible, but what God was able to save individual believers. The other one who got saved was Jeremiah's servant, Baruch. He said, your booty will be your life. That's what God's going to give you. And God can protect people just like a father. So if God is your father, if God is providing everything you need, your food, your provision, advice. I mean, what better advice than we have than the scriptures? If he is ruling his house well, and of course the whole world is his house, we should honor him every time. That means that your thoughts should be thinking about how can I please God today? What can I do to show his highest status? What can I do in my life with reading scripture, what he has told me? Would that show respect to him? And this is a relationship between you and God. What else can I do today? The way that I'm going to treat my wife or my children or my parents. So basically, this is part of honoring God. What can I do to bring this high status or to show, acknowledge this high status that God has? And the same as a master. If a master is providing for the food of his slave, the slave will be willing to work. And if he's protecting him and providing for other things for him, clothes, a place to sleep and all that, the same thing. So then the question that God asks is, I'm a father. Where is my honor? Where is my reverence? So in some ways, what we need to do is, as we seek to honor God with this first point, is it's easier to honor someone we have here like a boss, because if you don't honor your boss, you lose your job, most likely. It's easy to show honor to someone you see. And he's saying, well, children are honoring their parents, servants are honoring their masters. But you need to also focus on the things that you don't see. You don't see God physically providing all these things, though we know He does provide them. So, in 2 Corinthians, well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For if you die, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's something that sometimes God wants to show our lives. Like when you think about God bringing the people out of Egypt, their lives were kind of hidden as servants, but then God brought them up to light so that all the Egyptians saw them and let them go. Actually, all the Egyptians gave them part of their money and their gold and their silver, and then they let them go, and then they were shown that they were God's people as they were crossing through the Red Sea, and then in the desert, all the people of Palestine knew, oh, wow, those are God's people. And in some ways, we might not see what God is doing through our lives, yet our lives is hidden in Christ. And when it is His time, His appointed time, His preordained time, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. So, focus on the things that are not seen, and then grasp God's greatness. And that's what I was trying to share with you. If a father can be honored, and if a servant can be honored, how much more the Lord? He said, If I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? The word reverence, if you have New King James, is actually the word fear in Hebrew, says the Lord of hosts. But another thing that I need you to notice here is the name of God, the Lord of hosts. I guess by using the word Lord, you kind of, the meaning gets lost in English, because L-O-R-D is actually His personal name. The one who is speaking here is Yahweh of armies. Or an army has to do with something well arranged, something that is in order. So God is calling His name, my name. He's saying, I need to be honored because I am the position that I have. I am Yahweh, the God of Israel, but not only of Israel. I am the God of armies. And at the beginning you could say, well, yes, He's the God of armies because He's the God of the armies of Israel. And that's true. But He's also the God of the armies that punish Israel. He was the one bringing Babylon to attack Judah. He was the one bringing Assyria to attack the northern kingdom. And then when Assyria wanted to take over Judah, God destroyed 275,000 of the army there because He did not allow them to do that. He's the God of armies. And now as Israel is now to go to a stage where they will not be independent, He's letting them know, even though you are under foreign rule, I'm still Yahweh of armies. But not only those armies, but sometimes the stars and the planets and the universe is also arranged by armies, the heavenly host. And the spiritual realm, as the Apostle Paul tells us, is also arranged by different armies, and He is Yahweh of armies. Every single universal army, visible or invisible, thrones or authorities, or when we read some of those verses today, He is Yahweh of armies. That's how great He is. So it is a privilege to serve Him, and it is a privilege to honor Him. So in some ways, when you feel discouraged, think about, who am I serving? You're serving Yahweh of armies, or the Lord of hosts, if you want to go with the translation here. And He's talking to the priests, the people that were in charge of ministering the sacred things. And what, in some ways, this is addressed to the priest first, but it also permeates also to the people. Because the people who were bringing the sacrifices were the regular people. But a sacrifice couldn't be offered if the priest didn't accept it. If I bring a lame cow, or, well, whatever, bird, or a wingless bird or something, the priest should say, no, this is not what God wants. But they were not honoring God. They basically, the opposite of honor, as we saw, which is the word despise here, is to devaluate, to bring down, to underestimate, to undervalue, to accord little worth. And basically say, sure, I'll sacrifice that for you. He got to eat part of it. I mean, some of the sacrifices, if it wasn't a whole burnt offering, there were different sacrifices. Once the whole thing was burned, that's why it's called a whole burnt offering. But some of them, some of the sin sacrifices were whole burnt offerings. Other ones, the priests, they will burn the fat, but the priests were able to eat part of it. And even the people offering the sacrifice could take part of that. And since they were going to get part of it, for the careless, for the priest who didn't care, sure, I'll sacrifice that for you. Lunchtime anyway. And also then you wonder, how does this serve God for me to be working with a knife all day offering sacrifices? And as a priest, if you're doing this every single day and the nation is still not independent, and in some ways there's this discouragement on the nation, how would that work? But He's God speaking to them and saying, this is the Lord of hosts speaking to you priest, who despise, who give little accord, who give little words to my name. The other thing about, so we need to honor God because He's like a father. He has a position of authority. But the second reason why we need to honor God is because of His name. And His name has to do with His reputation, what He does. And His name is, He's the creator of the whole world. He is the one who controls all the armies of the world. He is the one who is faithful, who is righteous, who has loving kindness, who is just, who is fair. Because of what He does, because of the reputation that He has in His name, and that has to do with His character, He also needs to be honored. So focus on the things that are not seen. We are actually serving God, and then look at what God has revealed about Himself, what He has done, what He's doing right now. Grasp His greatness, and then act with integrity. The last part of verse 6. Sometimes when you are confronted, if God would come to you and say, you know, you're despising my name. I know you are serving in your church or serving me, but you're not really honoring me. And you would say, what? I go to church every Sunday. I read the Bible every day, or I do this or that. How can you say that I'm not serving you? I'm going out of my way to do this job. And that's what they are saying. Yet you say, how do we despise you? I mean, we've been offering sacrifices. We've been here every single day, 7 to 7, from sunrise to sunset. How have we despised your name, your reputation? And God answers verse 7. Well, you're offering the defiled. You're breaking the moral or the and ceremonial law. You are offering defiled food in my altar. You're bringing all these sacrifices next to me, to the God of heaven and earth, to Yahweh of armies, to the Lord of hosts. And he's like, but we didn't. You say, in what did we have we defiled you? The end of verse 7, by saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Just like we saw in the way that you can honor your parents is through words and then through material, through your actions. The same thing with God. And God does keep track of our words. And I know in some times of discouragement, I myself, sometimes I complain too much. And here the priests are doing something similar. They are saying, the place where we eat, that food that we're eating is not, they are undervaluing that work. It's contemptible. So that's with their words and then with their actions. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is that not evil? When you decide to bring something on purpose that you know, because you have the law, and you know you're not supposed to offer anything that has any defect, and you bring a blind animal, isn't that actually evil from your part? You are really undervaluing my glory and my name and my reputation. Oh, that God, he'll take any sacrifice. Just bring whatever. Bring a pig. Bring a dog. He'll take. You are not honoring God in the way that he needs to be honored. God said, this is the way to do it. Said, you better show honor. And if you don't do it, God says, it is wicked. It is the word evil. So, if you know what is right, do it what's right as you serve. The next thing is treat God at least with the same respect you would give someone here on earth. Someone that you see on the things that you see. Give the same respect. Verse 8, verse second part. And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Bring it as a gift. Hey, I brought you a puppy. It's a blind puppy. Or I brought you a kitten or whatever. Offer it. Would he be pleased with you? Would he smile? Oh, I always wanted that. Would he accept you favorably? Says Yahweh of armies. Even he won't accept you. He will remember you, but not favorably. And if he won't do that, what about honoring God? So, I guess at one time or another, you probably will go to this, and then you'll realize, you know, what I did, I just did it because it had to be done. I didn't do it in honor of God. So, when that happens, the next thing is just seek forgiveness. God says, verse 9, but now, entreat God's favor. Pray. Ask God for his forgiveness. Ask for his favor. For, in some ways, it's the word favor, there is no word favor. It's the word face. Seek his face. But seek his face in a favorable way. Seek his smile upon your life. That he may be gracious unto us. So, as you serve God, do it so that he will smile at you, that you will see his face and he will be pleased. That just like the New Testament says, that he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. The next thing is realize the seriousness of your sin. He already told us that when you do something purposefully against the way that you know is the right way to do it, that's wicked. If you were ignorant, there is a sin of omission. that, and there is an offering you can offer for that. But when you do it on purpose wrong, it's serious. Verse 9, second part. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you? While you are bringing things that you know they are wrong, will he accept you favorably? Will his face smile at you? Will you find his face? Says Yahweh of armies. Who is there among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar? In some ways, I think the translation of the NASB or ESV might be better. Well, not necessarily better. Literally, this is what it says. It says, who would do that? But probably the intent is, oh, that some of you would just shut the temple and quench the fire in the altar. Because I'd rather you not offer anything than the way that you're bringing your offerings. Oh, that you would just shut those doors and no one offer anything in the wrong way. That would be much better than having the service that you're giving to me. So that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain. Basically, those offerings that you offer, they were not for me. You might have enjoyed them, but they didn't honor me. They were in vain. If your purpose was to honor me, they were given in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord. And then he's very straightforward. Nope, didn't like them. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Nor will I accept an offering from your hands. The way that it's done, no way. Just close the door. Don't even bother. But once you realize how serious your sin is, then you can, in some ways, we're going to go back to God's greatness. Why are we serving God? Why are we trying to honor Him? Well, He's providing good things for us. Well, how can I honor Him? Well, I'm going to honor Him from my heart. So acknowledge that greatness. Verse 11. From the rising of the sun, from the east, even to its going down to the west, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Even if you people of God don't want to honor me, I will have people all over the world who will recognize who I am and who will honor me as I deserve. Because my name, my reputation is great. They will see me, they will see my works, they will understand, and they will realize I have this status that no one else has. And my name will be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense will be offered. Some of you might have incense is being offered. It's just participles. So it probably is a prophecy. And it was probably not being offered all over the world at that time. But nevertheless, we know every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father. Basically, everybody will recognize God's greatness, and that's the God we are serving. And they will serve Him with not with a defiled offering, with the contrast here is a pure offering. With a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says Yahweh of armies. Again, that is my name, and it will be great among the nations. The last two things, change your attitude towards God in word and deed. Just like we mentioned before, in some ways he's repeating this. If you're going to honor God, then change the way that you speak to Him. Verse 12. But you profane it. You profane my name. In that you say, again, what they are saying is what is bringing shame and putting down, in this case, the work of God, showing, oh, the work of God is not as important as what I have to do. But you're putting down, you're profaning, underestimating, undervaluing my work and also the Lord. The table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, the food that we eat there, it doesn't even taste good. It's contemptible. So even with their words, you also say, oh, what a weariness, what a hardship it is. oh, what a burden is to do this ministry for the Lord. And then their actions. You sneer. The word sneer in Hebrew is to blow furtively. Maybe sniff. You sniff at it. It's like, says the Lord of hosts. And then you bring the stolen. And this stolen is not that you were hiding and then when your neighbor turned around, you stole whatever you wanted to sacrifice. This is the, as I told you before, there are two Hebrew words for steal. This is the one that you steal by force, with violence. You are bringing here the one that you stole with violence, the one that you tear off or seize by force from someone else. And even David, King David said, I will not offer a sacrifice that doesn't cost me. But these people said like, oh yeah, I need to bring a sacrifice to God. Yeah, I'm going to honor God. And then, give me your sheep. Then he goes and offers his sacrifice. God says, that's no honor for me. And of course, we don't have sacrifices now, so we didn't need to apply this to the way that we want to honor God. Are you going to honor God with the fruit of your honest labor? Or like, wow, I was able to keep this much from such and such, so that didn't belong to me from government project or whatever it is. So I'll offer that to the Lord. Or whatever it is. Basically, this needs to be applied as the way that we are serving Yahweh of hosts, the Lord of hosts. So God asks, this is the way you're bringing your offerings. Should I accept this from your hand? Says the Lord of hosts. So he puts a curse. But curse, a spell, God says, cursed be the deceiver, the crafty one, who is able to justify bringing, he says, and the crafty one here is someone who God has blessed with a flock and has good things to offer from his flock for sacrifices. And he makes a vow that he will give a good sacrifice. He will bring a sacrifice to the Lord. But then somehow, in his craftiness, the deceiver, he has a male, because he knows he's supposed to be a male, and he's the right age. He takes a vow, but instead he brings what is blemished. And he's able to keep what he had offered first to the Lord. And he said, he's cursed. For all practical purposes, God is not pleased with his offering. So, what we need to do instead is whatever you do for the Lord, whether sing, help, and I know all of you are doing different things here to serve the Lord here and even at home, in your work, in your families. Whatever you do to honor God, remember who you're serving. Remember His greatness. The chapter ends, for I am great. And He adds the word now, King. First He said, He was a father, and yes, He's a father to us. He protects us, He cares for us, He cuddles us, He comforts us. He's master, we obey Him. But He's also the great King, the great ruler of everything. He says, I am a great King, says Yahweh of armies, the Lord of hosts. And my name, my reputation, is to be feared, is to be... it was translated there first, is to be respected or revered. It was translated first as reverence. Now here is translated as fear among not only Israel, but among the nations. The purpose for God, for your life, regardless of the period of history where you get to live, and we all get to live in the same period of history, is just one, is for you to honor Him. Whether He decides to do great works and marvelous works, whether He decides to do something that you wouldn't consider as great, but He's, in the verse we're memorizing, He sustains the world by the word of His power. Just the fact that He's sustaining you. Your responsibility is to bring honor to God with words and then with your actions too. Show how valuable He is to you, to other people. We might not experience what other generations have experienced, but we can be faithful and acceptable before Him as we respond to Him by faith in His revelation. Sometimes I think about the story of Joseph. Joseph did not have an encounter with God like Abraham. Joseph didn't get to wash God's feet or the angel's feet as they went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Joseph didn't have a dream like Jacob. Joseph didn't get to wrestle with God like Jacob. Joseph never had an encounter. The only thing that he had were dreams. And he knew they were by God. But Joseph purposed in his life to honor God. And he didn't sin with Potiphar's wife because he purposed in his heart to honor God. He knew God's power. He knew whom he was serving. And even at the end of his life, he gave commandment or he gave instructions to get his bones removed because he knew whom he was serving. He didn't get to see the Exodus. He didn't get to see the Red Sea opening. He didn't get to even hear about it. But he knew whom he was serving, and he was faithful, and he honored God in everything. And there are many other examples in the Scriptures. May we also be faithful and sincere in our service towards the King, the great King, whose name is to be feared among the nations. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we might give all of us our hearts to You, Lord. If someone here is listening to this sermon and is not saved, they never have their sins forgiven, let them know that we can have our sins forgiven because You loved us first. And You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And now that You have forgiven us and we can have a relationship with You, we want to honor You, Lord. And I pray that You will help us to meditate in these things and look at the service that we're rendering. And I myself fall so far short of something that is worthy for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, for the King whose name is worthy to be feared among all nations, Lord. And may You help us to honor You as we see Your works in our lives. And may You be glorified from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, and from age to age, forever and ever. Amen.